Tonight is going to be The Process to Perfection, is the title. So again, that's The Process to Perfection. If you just bow your heads with me one more time, we're going to just go ahead and pray and let the Lord lead. Dear Heavenly Father, I come before you once again, even now, dear Lord, just asking that you would go before me, dear Lord Jesus. I pray, dear Lord, that the words that are ministered today from me, dear Lord Jesus, to your body, that it would be fruitful in ministering, dear Lord Jesus. I pray, dear Lord, that you would help me to decrease, Father, so that you could increase within me, dear Lord Jesus, and that it's not by my might, my strength, my will, dear Lord Jesus, but yours and yours alone, dear Lord Jesus. I pray, dear Lord, that you would give me the strength, dear Lord Jesus, when I may have doubt, fears, or anything else that may rise up, dear Lord Jesus, in my flesh, dear Lord, and that you would help me to continue to push through, dear Lord Jesus. And I pray that it would not fall on deaf and dumb ears of your body, dear Lord, but that we would hearken and we would actively apply and practice these things in our lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray and thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You could all be seated. So I already said the title to my lesson today is going to be The Process to Perfection. And I'm going to start off a little different than I would normally start off. There's Jesus kicking in, so I appreciate it. Thank y'all for y'all's prayers. But I'm going to start off by talking about pottery. And there's a reason that I'm going to do that, and I'll get to there at some point. But I'm going to start off talking about pottery. And so the thing that I want to mention in regards to pottery is the Bible refers to us oftentimes, or we in our spiritual walks refer to us oftentimes, as being the clay on the potter's wheel and allowing God to shape and to mold us and to do what he needs in our lives, right? Well, the thing, as I was doing some research with clay, most clay starts in a dry form. Starts off dry, just like we started off dry, in a dirt form, and God had to give us some life, and then we became human form and all that good stuff, right? But it starts off in a dirt form or in a powder form, and it doesn't become clay or the substance we call clay until water is added. And enough water has to be added to that product for it to become malleable and pliable, basically, while it's on the wheel, to be shaped into whatever you're trying to create, right? And so as this process continues to go on, more water has to be added throughout the journey and throughout the process. Sometimes it's to stretch it, sometimes it's to restructure it, and sometimes it's simply just because the material is too thick and it needs to be thinner, so you add more water to stretch it and thin it out, right? So obviously in your head you may be asking why it is that I'm talking about pottery. That all makes sense here in the end, I hope. It will, in Jesus' name. The part that we often forget in life is that we are simply just clay on a potter's wheel. We think because of our accomplishments, our success, or things that we've accomplished in life has made us or that we've become something. It's not an issue that we gain success in these tangible things or have success in these tangible things, or that we have these blessings or things that benefit us. But the issue comes into play when we change things up and we have to create our own plan and think that our plan is greater than God's plan. God does things in decency and in order. So things that he does may not always make sense to us, or it may not always seem like it's the best fit or the best plan for our ideas or our thoughts that we have going on. However, he already knows what it is that we could ask for before we would ever need it or think of it. See, the issue is when we were born into this world of sin and iniquity, or the issue is we are born into a world of sin and iniquity. And because of this, and being born into the world of sin, we are already into a constant battle with our flesh from day one, which we're not always cognitively aware of. Our battle that we face will always and constantly will remain to be our flesh and the things of carnal, because it is the things, it's bonded to sin, and sin is what we were born into. God has deposited and given us his spirit to counteract and to go against our flesh, which is why we fast and we pray. And this is why we also read our word, so that we could feed our spirit man. And this is also why these things all help us, so that our flesh could decrease, so that God could increase in us and his spirit could be greater than our flesh. As we know, it's a must for the flesh to die and to fall off, because the more your flesh dies and falls off, the more you're walking like Christ-like and after the things of God, when the blessings and the fruits in your life will reflect as such. When I was reading the Daily Bread this year, my prayer during reading the Daily Bread was that the Lord would give me a different perspective or a different understanding of the word than I've ever had before. I've attempted to read the Bible over, when did I start, like 14, 12? Like, so many years, it's ridiculous. I should probably be like a Bible scholar and I should know the Bible, truth be told, because I've been reading it since I was a little kid. But the truth is, I never really had the best reading comprehension skills, and yes, that is an excuse. I never had the best excuse or excuse. I did have the best excuse. But I never had the best reading comprehension skills, and so that was my excuse that I would use as to why it was that I couldn't comprehend or understand the stories of the Bible. So everyone would get up here, and they'd run the whole entire Bible to you from front to back and tell you about how in this chapter, this was what was happening, in this chapter, this is what happens. And then they went from here, and they went to here, and Israel was here, and they was there. And I always used to sit there and be like, yeah, I mean, I know a piece of this story, but like, I don't really know it myself. But the more that I continued to draw closer and to draw nigh to God, and then I changed up the way that I was praying about understanding his word, I noticed that that's when God was able to move on my behalf. And as I was praying, Lord, to help me to have a different understanding as I'm reading the word, not only is the Lord showing me the different ways that he was able to deal with the children of Israel or the people from that day and age, but he also was able to show me the grace and the mercy that we have in today's day and age. And it's essentially created what's called an entitled generation. And now, essentially, we walk around as though we are owed everything in life. We walk around as though God has not done and has not provided us for this or for that. We act as though because we don't have what we want and what we need in that moment. It's not even what we need, because let's be honest, we got all we need. Because we don't get what we want, we sit there and we toot our face up, or we sit there and we cure them up and we conjure up this plan of how we could do it, or how we have to alter it, or how we have to change it, and how we have to come up with this plan to fix and to change our situation, of how we can change the hurt that we're experiencing, of how we can do this, or how we. And a lot of the time it becomes a me, or an I. And the whole time you're not even knowing that you're falling directly into the scheme of the enemy and exactly what he wanted. Because not only does the Bible say in the end of times that men will become deceived, the very elect will even become deceived, but they will become lovers of themselves. So if you pay attention to where the world is now and where we currently stand, it is nothing but selfishness. It is not teaching you how to love one another. It's not teaching and building and edifying one another. It's continuing to be opposite of what the curriculum is that we're teaching here in the church. And if you pay attention, when kids come here into church, it's like, be a unit, be a together, talk to one another, have accountability here. If you need help here, do this. Then they go to school, and it's like, you don't have to do that. You could be whatever you want. You could say whatever you want. You could do whatever you want. And so you're constantly in this battle where you have the things of the flesh and the carnal mind, and then you have the things of the spirit, and that's our constant battle in which we try to walk out on a day-to-day, and I'm gonna get further into that. So as I was reading the Daily Bread earlier this year, and Genesis is where we're gonna go to in scripture. You guys don't have to stand because we've already gotten into the word. We're gonna read from Genesis chapter 16, 1 through 12 is where I'll be reading. Sorry, it's a lot of scripture. Sister Jay pleasantly reminded me of that. Shout out Dream Killer. All right. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarah said to Abram, "See now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go in to my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her." And Abram heeded the voice of Sarai and said, or then Sarah, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. After Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, so he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when he saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. Then Sarai said to Abram, "My wrong be upon you. I gave my maid into your embrace, and she saw that she had conceived. I became despised in her eyes. The Lord judged between you and me." And Abram said to Sarai, "Indeed, your maid is in your hand. Do to her as you please." And when Sarai dealt harshly with her, and she fled from the presence, now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring of the way to Shur, and he said, "Hagar's, Sarah's maid, where have you come from, and where are you going?" She said, "I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress Sarai." The angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand." Then the angel of the Lord said to her, "I will multiply your descendants exceedingly, so that they shall not be counted for multitude." And the angel of the Lord said to her, "Behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction, and shall be a man, and he shall be a wild man, and his hand shall be against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren." So that's the end of my scriptural reading. And basically, in short terms, or the way I'm going to sum that all up, is basically what was happening is Sarah was promised, or she received a promise that she would give birth to the promise, basically. And when it didn't happen the way that she thought it was going to happen, because she couldn't conceive or have the baby, basically, because that wasn't going the way that she thought it was going to go and the way that she had planned for it to go, or the way that it was promised to her to go, instead of just sitting there and praying and asking God, hey, Lord, can you guide and instruct me, or what do I need to do in the meantime? How long do I need to sit still and wait for you to give me and to fulfill the promise of giving birth that you promised and fulfilled in my life? How long do I need to sit here and wait, and what are my next steps that I need to do in the meantime? Lord, give me a direction or instruction. These could have been the things that she was asking. But instead of that, what Sarah did instead was she was like, oh, you know what? I can't do it, so my servant can, and she can have a kid. And then what we learned from Pastor Marquise is that Hagar actually means the mother of Egypt. She was the mother of Egypt, the mother of sin, is what that tied to. So now, because Sarah had to do things her own way, instead of just sitting there being patient and waiting for the things of God to fall into place the way that he wanted and needed in her life, she's now created and conjured up her own plan, and she had something that was greater than God's will in her life, and she ran and she took that, and she ended up giving her servant to her husband to have, or impregnate, basically. She ends up getting pregnant, and now she got a kid, and she's pregnant with Abram's kid, and then she's mad because she gave the servant to Abram to have a child with, and she's sitting there looking at her like, how dare you? How dare you? And she got her lips stuck out, I'm sure, because that was the way I was reading it, at least. She was all sitting there pouting. She all jacked up, and she mad, like, how could you? How could you do this to me? But yeah, whole time, she the one who gave her away and was like, hey, go ahead and do this, because I need that kid that the Lord promised me. Because she didn't want to sit there and wait and to see how it was going to be with God's plan, or how it was that God needed it to go through. Instead, she needed it right then and there because she wanted to have a child. And because Sarah had to have it her own way, what does that tie to? Then she's there bound, and, or not bound, excuse me. She's battling or fighting, excuse me, with sin or Egypt for the entirety of her lifespan, basically, for the remainder of her time. Now, if I remember correctly, when Pastor was talking and I did my research, I think it was 430 years that Egypt was bound to sin, or not bound, excuse me, that they were slaves to sin. So in other words, they were bound. Egypt was, or Israel was really bound to Egypt. You know what I'm saying? They was really bound. They was locked up. Free my guys. But aside from that, while they were sitting there and they were serving their time in the land and they really out there working and what all that good stuff, and Jesus moving on the back end, she's conjuring up her own plan and she's got the way that she wanted things to go. But because of that, she now has stepped out of the will and the obedience of God, and therefore, for 430-something years, is what we just discussed, they were sitting there and they had to battle or walk this out within sin or in Egypt. See, but the way that God has set it up, as Pastor has also told us, the sin was supposed to be a servant unto the children of Israel. It was never meant for the children of Israel to serve sin, or to be stuck serving sin. The reason that that all ended up happening was because Sarah's disobedience and because her own willingness and her own desires trumped and went above what it was that God wanted or needed to be done in her life. So then, therefore, all of the fruit or the testimony that she did have has now been tainted or polluted. And now as she's sitting there on the wheel, God has to add water back to that clay that was sitting there starting to dry up, because now he has to reshape it, because what she's done is sat there and said, you know what, I had an alternative plan, God. The way in which you were building me right there, I didn't like that. I didn't like the way that made me feel, so I'm going to change this so I could feel better here, but I'm going to be semi-obedient and listen to part of what it is that you told me so that I could stay here and keep going forward, and so I think. But the whole time, you're only receiving or seeing a portion of your blessing, and the whole time, God is actually withheld from you, and you're sitting there bound or stuck in something that you had no business being stuck in, because God never intended for you to sit there and lay next to sin or dwell in sin for 430 years. God has already set you free. He's already given you the freedom and the liberty to move forward, but you just have to believe it. You have to accept what it is that he's given and what he's called you to do in your life. Your plan has to line up directly with what it is that Jesus is talking about, because if it's not lining up with the things of God and where God is taking you in life, there's going to be no fruit from it. You're going to constantly be looking back and battling that old man, and we cannot move forward into revival like that. Period. But because we know that we are simply just the clay on the potter's wheel, we must be reminded of our place. What does that mean? We are simply to be directed, formed, instructed. We take direction. We don't give the direction, right? We are not the gods of our lives. We don't have it all together, because if we had it all together, we wouldn't all be sitting here looking at one another who doesn't have it all together. God didn't ask all of us to have it all together and come in here and act like we got it all together, right? But what God did ask for us to do was to sit there and to go share how much so we don't have it all together. But that's the thing. We're not even doing that, because our battles that we're fighting and what we're focusing on is us. It's me. How this brother made me feel by the way he looked at me. How this sister made me feel by the way she talked to me. How this person made me feel, because it's me. And when we're stuck on me and the things of me, then the things of God have subsided, and therefore you've made another God, and God will not be second to none. And when that happens, then therefore you've stepped out of order in which God is trying to submit in the church, and therefore now everything has been put on pause. We have Sister Jay, who's been on pause for 6 months. More, 2 years at this point, dang near, right? And a lot of us might be like, oh, yeah, you know, that's cool. She's in a good place. No, but we shouldn't have gotten to that point. Sister J shouldn't have had to be there alone, because there should have been other ones of us who were sitting there lining up with the things that God is asking us to do. Okay, Lord, I see that there's a need in the church here. I'm going to fill that need. I don't know what it is I'm doing, but I know that you'll guide and instruct me. Okay, I see that Pastor Marquise has been struggling here or struggling there, and he may need this. He may need that. Okay, Lord, I may not be able to do this, but I could step in and I could help out here. But that's not what we're doing. We come in here, we battle our own individual battles. We take everything that we battle in the carnal and in the flesh, and we bring it and we carry it up in here, and we think that we're going to fight with one another, but really we're fighting against one another, because we're carrying the things of the carnal into the place of the Spirit, expecting the carnal to be able to understand the things of the Spirit. It doesn't work. So everything is built on a backwards precept at that point. But God does things in decency and in order, line upon line, precept upon precept. And so if that's the way that God is going to do things, he's going to do things in decency and order, whether you choose to line up or not. That's the beautiful thing about God. But here's the other thing, too. When we choose that we want to do what it is that we want to do, and our flesh and our own desires are greater than God's, God will put somebody else in the place to see through what it is that he needs to be done. Just like in the scripture, when Hagar was running and fleeing from there, God already knew what her name meant. God already knew where she came from and who she was attached to and what it was that she was going to be attached to. God already knew what Ishmael was going to be capable of, as he told her what he was going to be capable of. God already knew that. And he's still seen through that Sarai's kid would be born and the promise would still be fulfilled no matter what way it had to be done. But because she had to do something and had to have a say or had to alter the plan of God, and because she had to go in and it had to be her way and it had to be catered to her feelings and her ideas and her thoughts and the way that she wanted it, because she needed it now, because she was also a microwave saint, because that is the case, now she has all of these extra battles that she didn't have to accompany and carry into the land in which God was taking her. God had already given them all a promise. God has already told them where they were going to go. So I'm going to say this, pure apostolic works. God has already told us where we're going. We are going to reach the nations. We are going to reach the multitudes. It's a matter of if you are willing to do so. It's a matter of your own feelings, your own desires, and your own personal intellect could be subsided and set aside for the things of God and the greater mission or the greater goal in which we're chasing towards. We're talking about unity. We talk about praying. We're talking about teaching Bible studies. We talk about reading our word. There's a reason that we have to do all of these things, because when we're praying and we're receiving the instruction, we're receiving it from God. We receive the direction in which God needs us to go. We receive the extra support that we need. When I'm weak, Lord, I'm weak. I can't do this today. I feel like I can't do this today. Lord, I can't do it by my own strength, but I need yours today. Those are the kinds of prayers that we can cast up to God, and God answers and hears those. And then he immediately gives us strength to keep going back forth. But here's what's happening. We're not even praying during daybreak, because then when we go out into the world and we do experience these things in the battle, then we don't even know that we have to call on God, but we only know to call on him when it gets hard. But God is there through it all. He's there before it gets hard, and he wants you to reach out to him before it gets hard. We got to stop only reaching out to God when things are convenient or beneficial for us. We have to stop asking and seeking God when things are convenient or beneficial for us. We can't sit here and choose and pick and choose when we wanted to serve God wholeheartedly and when we don't. Because when we do that, not only are we affecting the other people that are within this body, but we're putting our own spiritual walks on hold. And we cannot continue to move forward into the end of times like this because you will spiritually die. That's right. That's right. We don't have time. We don't. It's not time to play with God. It's not time to play with the things of God. It's about time that we be about our Father's business in the kingdom, like Joshua and his household, when they was like, I don't know about y'all, but me and my household, we gonna serve the Lord. Because I don't know about all y'all, but I promise you, I will stand up here and serve the Lord until I am blue in the face. I don't care what that takes. Lord, you hear me right now. I will walk that out because I know in the end that walking it out with God is greater than any walk that I could ever walk out in my own physical flesh, my own spiritual or personal intellect, my own personal or fleshly desires are way, way, way smaller than the things that God is capable of doing in my life. And when I trade my own desires, my own flesh, and the things that I want in life, and I'm willing to submit them to the Lord and the one and true God, then not only will he start to bless you with the things of your heart, but you'll see that everything that you had a desire for will be taken care of. When you have this 90-degree relationship, everything else is not going to matter. It's not going to matter how they talk to you at work. It's not going to matter how they look at you at work. It's not going to matter what they said to you about this. It's not going to matter what they said to you about that. It doesn't matter, because if your relationship is here, all you're going to care about is the direction that God is sending you on. It's going to be like that arrow Brother Jonathan was talking about. When God points you out here and says, my son, I want you to go reach this nation, you're not going to stop until you see how that is. You're not going to sit there and say, oh Lord, well, I'm going to get there, but I would like to go talk to these people first. No, we're not doing that no more. We're not doing that no more. We don't have time for detours, because that detour that you might make, that might be the last detour you ever make, and you might end up dead there. You don't want to sit there and play around with sin and be stuck there for 430 years. You don't want to sit there and play around with lust and be stuck around dealing with it for 430 years. You don't want to play around with a Jezebel and be stuck with her for 430 years. You don't want to play around with the things of God and mess around and have to suffer long for a long period of time, when a journey could be 11 days instead of 40 years. It could be all so simple. When she created her own way for the promise to be created or to be born, she was bound, or she wasn't bound, but she was stuck longer than she had business being stuck for, and she also affected the other children of Israel. Because not only based off of her disobedience was she affected and stuck and bound there, but the entire nation of Israel was stuck and bound. So what does that mean to us in today's society? Okay, well, that one mistake, that one little sin that we love to partake in, that one little sin that we love so much that we don't want to shake and we don't want to let go, or we don't want to admit that we even have a flaw or struggle with, that one little sin, you could be putting everybody else who's in here on hold. Everybody else who's sitting there trying to run and go forward, and we're all chasing the kingdom, everybody else in here could be on hold, waiting for you just to catch up. And you don't want to be that person who's sitting there and the whole entire body has to wait on you. Because I promise you, we will, but it's not going to feel good to get to that point. Because if you're at that point and you're at that point alone, then that means you've chosen your will for a lot of time, and God is going to have to decrease you so that he could start over. And the thing about clay is once you mess up, I was doing a little bit of research on this, right? But once you're actually making pottery with clay, right, the moment that you finish it and you cut it off of that potter's wheel and you put it into the kiln to start burning, do you know that any imperfection you find from that point on, you have to restart? Any imperfection found in that piece of pottery afterwards, you have to destroy it. Well, you might be saying, what does that mean to me? Anytime that your plan is greater than God's and you alter what it is that he's got going on, God has to start over again. You have to be decreased once again so that he could increase. And nobody likes to be humbled all the time like that. Nobody wants to sit here laying on their face, flat on their face in front of God. I promise you, you don't. Because God's humbling is going to be a lot different than mine. I'm nice considering Jesus, because Jesus might kill you. I'm just being honest. I ain't saying nothing that's fake. Jesus, your life might be over playing with Jesus. JZL, you might have a little bit more patience, and you might get a little bit more mess ups. But Jesus, it's over. That's it. He ain't playing with you. And I ain't saying you're going to die if you sin. So let me not say that so y'all don't start taking that. You might. If you stay stuck there, you might. Yeah, you might. Let me say that for the kids. You sin, you stay stuck there, you might die. You might. A physical, spiritual, whatever you want to call it. Think about it. Think about it before you stay stuck there. But anyway, you don't want to have to go through the point to where God has to decrease you. Because the thing is, before you remove yourself off that potter's wheel and say, you know what, I'm a completed process, now I'm ready to go into the fire to be purified. Ain't that tight how we're pure apostolic works and we're pure? Okay, my bad. Anyway, but before you remove yourself off of the potter's wheel to become purified, as long as you're still on that wheel, God can add water to you, and he can reshape and he can remold you. So as soon as you're able to realize, Lord, you know what? My will and my plans are not as great as yours. Help me to get back on track. Then that's when the Lord adds a little bit of water, and he can reshape what it is that you thought you had going on. You think that you was creating something successful, but he had to show you. This is what's going to happen if you do your way and your will in your life. This is where you're going to end up. This is what's going to happen. But when you submit your plan for mine and you pick up my cross and you carry that, my yoke is a lot lighter, and this is what it's going to look like for you. And I promise you, once you start lining up with the things of God and his will and his plan in your life, and you get that 90-degree lined up perfectly, then everything else that you're going through in life is no longer going to become a problem. Amen, amen, amen. All of those feelings that you were having, you're going to start to realize, Lord, I don't even know why I was mad about that. Yeah. Because you're no longer focused on that. That's not what you care about no more. Because now it's, all right, Lord, I realize that hurt my feelings, but what do I need to do to get right? Because your perspective will start to shift. And that's where we need to get to as a church, because once our perspective and our mindset shifts about the way that we have to battle and the way that we have to go into this fight and the seriousness and the severity of this war in which we're walking into, and once we start to realize that we're just not walking this walk out like we've been walking out the years before, but this year it's going to take a lot different fight. The years to come is going to take a different kind of fight. But the question you should be asking yourself is, are you really ready for that fight? Are you really ready for that fight? And if you're saying no to yourself in your head, I'm just being honest, it is a scary place to be. But the thing is, it's a good place to be because you have time. Amen. While you still got breath in your lungs and air in your body, you have time to get it right. Until you hear and see the skies is cracked and Jesus is coming back for his church, you still have an opportunity to get it right. Just because you're not living right now and you don't have it perfected right now does not mean it's over. When a just man falls, a just man gets back up 7 times and continues to fight again. There's a reason that God gave us these things in the scripture. Just like there's a reason that God has asked us or required us to read the Bible. Because when we read the things in the Bible, Psalms 119:11 tells us, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. There's importance and there's imperativeness within that. Once we store the word of God in our hearts, then therefore it becomes a regiment or a practice within us. It becomes something that we start to study and start to develop within ourselves. It becomes an active practice that no longer is just something that could be seen within our spirit, but it becomes a manifestation of the things that God is working on your spirit and in your flesh. And therefore, when you walk in your flesh, people will not be able to see your flesh, but the spirit in which God is moving in and out of, because they will not be able to see you, but they'll see the spirit of God. And it's not because we're so great, but it's because the spirit of God has led us to be great. So again, the process to perfection. The only way we could become perfect is by taking direction and guidance from the one who is perfect. That's right. And that's God. The only other step other than that is when God is shaping us, when God is molding us, when God has us on that potter's wheel, you stay there. You sit there and you wait until God gives you instruction. Sometimes that's going to be a long wait. Sometimes it may be quick. But you sit there and you say, all right, Lord, I will wait until you give me my next step. Don't say, oh, okay, you know what? But this looks good over here, Lord. I want to just, no. Because that look good over there could have just detoured your life 10 years. Right. You could have just set yourself back from a blessing that God was setting you up for, and you could have messed up something that you had going in your life. And then you will sit there and you will wonder, Lord, why do I have to go through all of this? Why am I? Because your will is greater than mine is what he's going to tell you. And then you're going to say, oh, Lord, well, you don't answer me, but... well, why do you only reach out to me when you need me? Because if y'all had friends who only reached out to you when you needed them or when they needed you, you wouldn't want nothing to do with them. Let me have a friend who won $100 every week. I promise you, you got 1 week to ask me and it's over. That's it. Unless Jesus tell me directly, you ain't getting that. That's it. You're cut. So you might want to get right. I got all off track. Lord, forgive me. It was. In conclusion, Sarah was given a, you guys could stand up with me. Sarai was given a promise from God, and it was set to see it through and to fulfill it, but not on her own desire, but with her own desires, she began to do things her own way. And she ended up being bound, she ended up battling and dealing with sin long term because of her own feelings, thoughts, or ideas were better than God's. She took herself off the potter's wheel and wasn't a completed piece of art, leaving for something God had to go clean back up and start over with. Don't be like Sarai. And think that you have a greater plan than God, sorry. If he has given you instructions, follow it and wait for your next steps. If you have taken too heavy or out of control, it's time to if things have been taken too heavy or out of control in your own will, it's time that we repent and get out of our own way and let him back into control. If life seems too heavy or it's seeming like it's too much and we're carrying a lot of things on our shoulders and we're doing it our own way, it's time that we start laying these things at his feet. But in all that you do, let God be at the potter's wheel and create what he needs. Don't move to the left and don't move to the right and create your own path, because you would get stuck there and end up burning in a fire that you weren't meant to be a part of. And that's the conclusion of my lesson. So we're just going to go ahead and bow our heads and pray out. Dear Heavenly Father, I come before you once again. I thank you, dear Lord, for this opportunity to speak to your body, dear Lord Jesus. I thank you, dear Lord Jesus, just for ministering to my heart, dear Lord, and to your body's heart, dear Lord Jesus, about the importance, dear Lord Jesus, of just our submission to you and your will in our lives, dear Lord Jesus. And I pray, dear Lord, that as we leave and depart from this place, dear Lord Jesus, that our plans in life, dear Lord, that they would line up and that they would be directed in seeking after you, dear Lord Jesus. I pray, dear Lord, that if our plans don't line up with the ones that you have in our lives, dear Lord Jesus, that it becomes a back burner problem of ours, dear Lord Jesus, but that we would focus heavily on the things in which you're asking of us, dear Lord Jesus, so that we could be the pure apostolic body that you've asked us to be, dear Lord Jesus. I ask, dear Lord Jesus, that you would continue to move forward on our behalf, dear Lord Jesus, and to reveal the work that needs to be done within us and our own situations, dear Lord Jesus. And I pray, dear Lord Jesus, even now that you would just continue to put yourself back on the potter's wheel, even when we remove ourselves, dear Lord, and that you would help us to correct and get right, dear Lord Jesus, and not stay stuck long, dear Lord Jesus, and have to stay stuck in bondage or sin for 430 years, dear Lord, but help us to have a shorter journey, dear Lord Jesus, but the right way, dear Lord. And it's in Jesus' name I thank you, I love you, and I pray you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.